Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
I'm so glad to be with you wherever you are in the world, and it's wonderful to know that our Lord and Savior, behind the scenes, He is working. And you see in the book of Esther, it doesn't even mention God, but behind the scenes, He was there and He was working. And He is working in the world today in many ways, and you really don't see it unless you have a Bible. And thank God we have a Bible today. And, you know, I thought it would be good for us to start off by reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, because it glorifies our great and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here's what it says: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Now the child is Jesus, and He is the Son of God. "And the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful." And He's certainly wonderful to all of us that are saved. "Counselor, the Mighty God." He's the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He's a Father to us. "The Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from thenceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now, part of that verse has been fulfilled, that God has given His Son, and He has come into this world, but eventually Jesus will rule over the whole planet, and we're getting ready to that time. That's why when President Trump has recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, it was something that many opposed, but God was in that, because Jerusalem will soon be the capital of the whole planet Earth, and there the Creator of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be ruling and reigning over this earth and turn it into a paradise. And so we thank God for that, that He is alive and well. I had a discussion last week, and I was talking to someone, and there's a group today that's think that they get the church and Israel mixed up and confused, but the Bible says give no offense to the Jews, the Gentiles, or the church. So He makes distinction between Jews, Gentiles, and church, and the church, the three different separate entities. And so I was thinking about a scripture verse where it states, when the angel came to Mary, she said that Jesus would rule over the house of Jacob forever. Well, if He's going to rule over the house of Jacob forever, that means the house of Jacob will be forever. And there's no way, when the Bible talks about Jacob, of mixing that with the church. That's two separate entities. And then I think of the 144,000, all of them were from 12 tribes of Israel, 12,000 of each tribe. So the tribes were all there, just as they were in the past. And the Bible says that Jesus then will rule forever over the house of Jacob. Jacob, as a nation, will go on forever. All other nations will be abolished. Now, whether you like this or not, the reason we say this is this program is about, we have a Bible, we believe the Bible, and so we don't, it doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says, or even the President or the UN says, or anybody else. This is the final authority in the universe given us by the Creator of the universe, so we'll go by this, and it doesn't matter what any other religious leader says. We will go by this, and we know where this Bible is, because God said He is. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth, and Thy word have I hid my heart." And many verses show that we have God's word. So, Brother Al, do you have a verse to say on that?
Well, yeah, you were talking about Luke chapter 1, verse 33, where the angel was speaking to Mary, and he said, speaking of Jesus, "He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and as of His kingdom there shall be no end," which goes hand in glove with what you read in Isaiah earlier. And then, of course, we also see over in I mentioned earlier the book of Daniel, when you see these things talking about Israel continuing. This is always one of my favorites in Daniel chapter 9, where in verse 24, Daniel's given a prophecy over his people, upon thy people and thy holy city. Well, that's the Jewish people and Jerusalem, and that prophecy has to be fulfilled. We're in a sort of parentheses right there at the moment, and the rest of that is going to come and take place. Like you said, Jesus is going to return, and he is going to set up shop there, ruling over the world from Jerusalem, and that'll be a tremendous thing, won't it?
That'll be the day. And, you know, the Bible says this, that it talks about the washing of the word. And that's really to wash our brains clean of all the man-made ideas and thoughts on religion today and religion, why it's based on. I heard somebody say it's based, talking about experience. Well, our religion is not to be based on experience. It's based on the word of God. And that's where people got it wrong. And you have about as many different ideas on religion as there are people. It's amazing. But God says his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. His heavens are high above the earth, so are his ways above ours and his thoughts above ours. So we're to go by our Creator's thinking, and it's all found in the King James Bible. Well, I have a guest here, and that's Brother Dennis Fox, and he's a piano player extraordinary, and I just thought I'd ask him to tell. How is it you got saved, Dennis?
When I was 15 years of age, my parents took me to a Billy Graham film called Oil Town USA. And after that movie was over, I accepted Christ into my heart when I was 15. And as a result of that, a challenge that came to me being born again, many, many things have happened in my life that which has led me into the Cleveland area, and now at the Westlake Baptist Church as the music director and the piano player. Been a great experience knowing Bruce Musselman. I've known him for many, many years, and the Lord's been doing much through his life, and I believe he's doing many things through my life. Thank you, Bruce, for giving me this opportunity.
Okay, thank you, Dennis, and I appreciate that. He drove me here today, and I thank the Lord for those people that have done that, and God always raises up somebody to do things like that, but I thank you. We talk about, once again, we're talking about the Authorized King James Bible, and I want to read this scripture verse dealing with that subject today, and it says in the book of Hosea 7:13, "Woe unto them, for they have fled from their destruction, they have fled from me, destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me." Here's Jewish people. God redeemed them. He brought them out of captivity, and they've spoken lies against me. And here's people that are saved and have spoken lies against the Lord. And, you know, what are these lies that they're speaking? I'm going to let Al say something here today about that. Tell us some of the lies, and then we're going to get into it.
Well, some of the lies, that we would be here all day, I think, trying to do that. And let me remind people that they can go to the website, whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And they can listen to some of your past programs there and also see some of the books and materials that you refer to from time to time. But when we think of the lies that have been told, it's no wonder. The Bible says that Satan, the devil, is the father of lies. He was a liar from the beginning, and he lied to Eve in the Garden of Eden and got Eve to question God's word. And I think that's a lie that's repeated to this day. You know, we even, unfortunately, Christians, and some of them, unfortunately, well-meaning, just poorly taught, are echoing the devil's lie, "Yea, hath God said." You see it in the footnotes of the modern versions, where a better reading would be, or this verse isn't in the original manuscripts. And in many cases, like in 1 John 5:7, it's an outright lie. They know that it was there, but they just lied about it. And I think those are some of the substantial lies that are being told today, all echoing the devil's lie.
Thanks a lot. And, you know, I hear it all the time. And if I get lose my enthusiasm for doing this, and then I hear it. Some of these lies, it gets me all fired up again. But my friends are telling me they're listening. I think the program may be on about this time, too, and on the Moody station. Now, I'm not one to critique other people's ministries or organizations or Bible schools or so on. But, you know, when they come out and attack the Word of God in the King James Bible, then I mention it. And an individual is on there, and he's talking about, you know, this passage is coming in from some monk put it in there, and it slipped in from the margin, and you hear this nonsense. So we've been answering this for years, and we have all the evidence for the King James, and I'll repeat it over and over again. And thank God book after book is coming out. But these people, I guess they believe that whatever they were taught when they were in school, my mind is made up, don't confuse me with the facts. So they just ignore that. They don't read it, and they keep on saying the same old cliches again, you know. One of them, they said recently, well, they found newer and better manuscripts since then, and that's nonsense. They apparently weren't aware of this, and some of these things I've said over and over again, but I'll repeat them again. In Oxyrhynchus, Egypt, why they found a massive amount of papyri, and Colwell of the University of Chicago, who writes books on textual history, and he saw these things and was amazed to see that they had the King James readings backed up the King James Bible, see. But not only that, from the ancient manuscripts, and well, I'll repeat this again, 99% of them back up the readings of the King James, 1% back up the modern versions, and that's what we talk about here, and these modern versions are corrupt. I mean, for instance, we said it over and over again, they take out the names of Jesus 100 times in the New Testament alone. Now, that's something worth thinking about. They take out whole verses, whole sections, and then you hear these guys bloviating on the radio, and my friends were telling me last week a guy was talking, and this I'm not going to mention his name, but he was on the Moody station, and Moody has been corrupting the Bible for a long time. Now, D.L. Moody was against it. He was a King James believer, but it seems like these schools, they get set up, and then these guys get proud, and then the devil just gets them by the nose, and it, like my mother says, he says, the devil gets you by the nose, and who pulls you around? And their nose is like Pinocchio. Remember, he's the guy, wasn't it, that every time he told a lie, his nose got longer and longer, and some of these guys, if they ever would come out with the nose from telling lies, they'd have some mighty long noses because of the lies they've told on the Bible. So this guy's talking about something just coming in from the sliding in or something. And I think it was last week, and they do this on the station there now. Now, a couple books that they have published, and I think this gives them the background where they're getting some of the information. First of all, they published a book, Moody has, and it is something you cannot trust in anymore. Geisler, they're studying what he said. Geisler, and that is used in fundamental schools. He got his doctor's degree from the Jesuits. It was set up to overthrow the Protestant Reformation. That's where this guy got his doctorate, and he recommends the Pope's Bible and gives what they call the criticisms, how you can find what the originals say, and these statements lead back to the Pope's Bible, Pope Vaticanus. Now, or Vaticanus, where did that come from? Well, a guy named Origen, who lived from 185 to 254, he thought that he revised the Bible and may accept it to the Alexandrians, and so he did it. And it's in textual history. And, you know, one of the first people to discuss it was Augustine. The famous Saint Augustine said that in Alexandria they were changing it, messing with it, and that was back in 250. And we know that that's where it came from, and it's called the Alexandrian text. But you could hardly call it a text because the two manuscripts they used, the two false witnesses they used, like the false witnesses of Christ's trial, disagreed with each other in 3,000 places in the Gospels. And that's what they used. And so then they have a continuous change of text. So every version that comes out, and we've said this many times, but we have to say it again, the New American Standard based on Nestle's 23rd edition, which was based on the Pope's Bible, originally. The NIV based on the 24th edition of Nestle's Greek text. Now they got the 27th edition. And so the whole thing is just absolutely corrupt. Now, another thing that this individual in Moody, and I'm not going to mention his name out of charity, I guess, but I'm not here to blast people or individuals, although I do mention them from time to time. This guy on the Moody station that's talking about these things that slid in from the margin, which is nonsense, he was praising Metzger. Now, Metzger is a professor. You know, it helps to do a little reading. These fellows only read one side, see, and I think they threw their textbooks away after they graduated and haven't read anything since then. And so anyway, Metzger, he is a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, and Metzger thinks that Mark made mistakes. Now, I always believed that Mark was written by the Holy Spirit because Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to guide them into all truth, bring all things to the remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So he thinks that Mark has errors in it. And this individual that was on the Moody station, he was saying that Mark had errors in it. He was praising Metzger. So you see where he's getting his information. Also, Metzger was on a translation committee of a recent Roman Catholic translation. So that's where this brother is getting his information. So when you listen to him, don't pay any attention. He's just bloviating, and I could use stronger languages than that. When you have the King James, it's based on the Syriac Peshitta. It's based on the Koine Greek. It's based on the Gothic, which is the earliest form of English translation. It's based on the Old Latin. And a number of these translations were actually given at Pentecost by the Holy Spirit of God. God not only gave the original languages, but he gave the translations of the languages. And the King James translators were guided by God, and God is showed in every way. The word of God liveth and abideth forever. These translations last as long as the advertising lasts, and then they disappear. But the word of God goes right on, and Christians that read the Bible every day on recent surveys read the King James over all the rest of them put together. Why? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth, and he will abide with you forever. And 5 billion copies have been printed of this, and it goes right on no matter what the Pope says, what all the seminary professors say. And by the way, the reason these seminaries and Bible schools, they like that text is because the guy that set up the first seminary was Origen, who lived between 185 and 254. He was a Platonist, according to all the history books. And he set up the seminary where they taught heathen philosophy. Now, if you read what God says in the Bible about heathen philosophy, he calls it Greek foolishness. And God has no respect for it whatsoever. And most of these seminaries, they teach philosophy, and they teach Origen's Greek text, which is not the Koine Greek, which all Greek professors say the New Testament was written in. That's classical Greek that Origen put it in. And by the way, it's very debatable that the New Testament was written in Greek anyway in the first place. I was reading Eusebius' church history, one of the earliest church history writers, and he says that Matthew was written in Hebrew. And the apostles spoke Aramaic, according to the history books, and Jesus, when he was dying on the cross, spoke Aramaic. So I don't know how they can be so sure it was written in Greek. So these fellows, the only thing is, they don't have a Bible. When you listen to somebody that is correct in the King James Bible, he doesn't have a Bible himself. He talks about the originals. Well, he doesn't have the originals, and if you pin him down, he doesn't have it. But we have the original King James Bible in English. I mean, some of the letters have been updated and so on, you know, and that. But we have the Word of God. And Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You know, he must have thought it was important because it was in three Gospels. And he said, I pray not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me out of the world. For I have given them the words, the people that Jesus has given out of the world. He has given them the words. And I have the words of Jesus today in my King James Bible. And I can thank God for it today that we have it. And they try to convince you they don't have it, and they don't have a Bible themselves. So they're just bloviating, and they don't know what they're talking about. The Bible talks about people that are willfully ignorant, and they're willfully ignoramuses. That's what they are. And they're trying to destroy your faith in something. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says for envy they delivered him. And those Pharisees back there, they were criticizing Jesus all the time, and they criticize his words today that we have in the King James Bible out of envy. They're envious of a book. Isn't that amazing? Because they want to be the authority, and they are not the authority. And you have the Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees attacking Jesus all the time, and the scribes and Pharisees today, they attack his words today. You know, Jesus said when you got saved, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And Jesus, you think Jesus gave languages in the first place. You think he can't translate it? You know, when it says in the New Testament, by interpretation, that simply means by translation. That means translation, the exact same thing in the context. And so he said that it would pass away. And today, the universal language is the King is English. The universal Bible worldwide is the King James Bible. Now, I am not against translations. Don't let anybody slander you and say that. And we have organizations today that they are translating the Bible. They know the Greek. They know language. They know the language of these nations. And they are translating it, but they look at the King James as the authority of God Almighty when they translate it into the languages of the people of the world. And they're doing this all the time. So I'm not against translations. And I say the King James translators, they had translations on the table. Now, you know, one place in the introduction, and they get this wrong, they said, well, there's many good other good translations, and this is by the King James translators, and we are just making good translations better. They take that out of context, but the translations they are talking about are translations from the received text that is given by God and the apostles, not by a corrupt text called the Alexandrian text. And it's called the eclectic because they disagree with one another, the manuscripts for it. And, you know, we can know that Alexandria was in Egypt. God told him not to go down into Egypt. And not only that, that's where the mixed-up Bible scholar came, Apollos. And when they attack the Bible, they're attacking it with the Alexandrian manuscripts. And you can better believe God's already said that's where the mixed-up Bible scholars come from, and they're mixed up, confused. And another thing the Bible says this. It says they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. And they're using unsaved rationalists to decide where the text is. Well, the Bible says our God is all-powerful. Jesus runs the stars within a fraction of a second. And our God, it says, he upholds all things by the word of his power. And it's the word of Jesus Christ through time and through eternity. It's his word that upholds his words. And he says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And God's sheep continually go back to this Bible, the King James Bible, because it's the words of God. And God says, I'll honor my word above all my name. No book ever in the history of the world has been honored by more presidents and by more college professors. Now, we should do what Moody and the people, the fundamentalist leaders, did in the past. What they did when they opened their Bible schools is they dumped the Greek departments and they studied the true word of God in the English language. And a lot of times after these schools were set up, they didn't know about the chaos that had erupted, that Moody talked against, that Spurgeon talked against, that Talmage talked against. And they set up these Greek departments, which are a total chaos and a mess. But thank God, God has given us his word. It's powerful. Every revival came from it. And without it, there is no revival. Thy word is powerful. We can depend on it for our soul salvation. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.